one of the levels of properly spiritually preparing for the reunification of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael on Shavuot, reliving the experience of Matan Torah, has something to do with the study of the Aseret HaDivarim, Aseret HaDivarot, the Ten Commandments, which each one of you has already studied numerous times. But as you know, one of the celebrations of Shavuot has to do with Matan Torah, and specifically with the Aseret HaDivarim, with the Aseret HaDivarot. I would like to focus today on the fifth of the Ten Commandments, a mitzvah which we have all been studying since we're in kindergarten, or maybe even before that. And I do hope that through our joint study, we will gain new levels of an understanding of Matan Torah, specifically the Aseret HaDivarot, with special focus on the fifth commandment. Everyone knows that there's a vast literature as to the problematic number of the commandment of the Kibbur Avaim. Generally speaking, you know, it says in the Torah explicitly that there were two tablets, right? Shnei Luchot Avadim. Shnayim Miyodea, everybody knows. Who knows two?
I know
two. You know two, right? Two. Who knows two? But who really knows two? Yeah, what do we need two for? You know, how many words are there on the second tablet? Just make it put everything on one tablet. Who really knows two? What do we need Shnayim Miyodea? What do we need two for? What's the purpose of teaching the Torah on Shnei Luchot Ha'Edut? Why couldn't it all be on one? Does anyone know the answer to that question?
I don't know.
I think that's the question. That's really what we're asking. Shnayim Yodea. It's not a, you know, what does it mean? What do we need to? Yes? Okay, that's the generally accepted opinion. So why couldn't you put them all together?
I guess the teacher, there's somewhat separation, or
parallelism. Correct. That it seems for sure that all ten could fit on one, all ten commandments could fit on one stone. It's not a problem of space. Lo tirtzach is two words. Lo tinav is two words. Lo tigdov is two words. So it seems that there's some level of emphasis that understand that there are two pathways in the service of God. There are mitzvot shebein adam lamakom, generally associated with the first of the tablets. The commandments of awareness of God, of prohibitions of idolatry, of usage of God's name improperly, of the Shabbat. The second tablet, basically, commandments between people and other people, sensitivity to murder, to kidnapping, according to some, to theft, to adultery, to false testimony. Those are the generally accepted terms that we understand the differentiation between tablet number one and tablet number two. The problem is, and this is discussed in many, many sources, that Kibbur Av Va'Em is the fifth commandment, which is found on which of the two tablets?
First.
On the first. And Kibbur Av Va'Em is clearly a mitzvah. Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. So it's Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. And you're telling me that the whole distinction of Shnayim Miyodea, of all the people who really understand this distinction between the first tablet and the second tablet, is that this is Ben Adam L'Makom and this is Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. So this is Ben Adam L'Chaveiro that belongs on the second level of the Luchot. And the answer is? Excuse me? Yes?
Maybe really is Ben Adam L'Chaveiro.
I don't know about all these recordings yet, but there is. They're trying to record this. I mean, God records everything we say. I don't know. All recordings are reflective. The people didn't believe that God really. So all the recordings are there to testify that even in this world, people's words are recorded. So if you want them to hear you, speak louder. You know?
Maybe it is. Ben Adam and Makom, God created our parents.
God created our appearance. God created everything. God created all people. I agree with what you say, but I would phrase it differently. Yes, I mean, yes, on that line of thought. Yes, please.
I think it's like a way of teaching us like how we're supposed to act in general. how we're supposed to act with our parents and how we're supposed to act with our bais, and it's supposed to resemble how we're supposed to act with Hashem ultimately.
The Gemara teaches, and many have studied the text in Masechet Kiddushin. The Gemara teaches that kabed et avicha ve'et imecha, in many ways, the terms that are used for honoring one's parents are the identical terms that are used for honoring God. That in a certain sense, when one honors one's parents, one is honoring God. Kabed et avicha ve'et imecha, kabed et Hashem mehonecha. Ish imo v'aviv tirao. You know, so there are teachings in the Torah about et Hashem lokecha tirah. There's a parallel teaching. What does it have to do with honoring God? Besides the fact that parents, of course, are created by God, but what in a more direct way? Why is honoring parents? Yes, please.
It's the one that we ask to our parents is the same in the world the way that we ask towards Hashem.
Because
Hashem is our creator.
Creators, right? It's a creator concept. This is a direct creation of our being. The rabbis teach Shlosha Shutafim. There are three partners of the creation of a human being. You know, Aviv v'Imo v'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? That God is a partner in creation together with one's parents. And perhaps, if you remember in the Talmud, there are certain rabbis who, when they heard their mother's footsteps about to enter the room, they said, let me stand up for the Shekhinah. Let me stand up for the divine presence that's about to enter. The Shekhinah is about to enter. My mother is about to enter the room. Shekhinah. What Shekhinah? But the attitude that we're supposed to have is supposed to be an attitude that parallels the attitude towards our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Can someone excel in their relationship with God and fail in their relationship with parents? It's theoretically possible. But the rabbis teach that if one, God forbid, is disrespectful to one's parents, then God says, I consider it, I'm glad I wasn't in that home, because if I would be in that home, they would be disrespectful to me, because that's a form of being disrespectful to me. Because one's parents and God are on similar terms in terms of this understanding. And according to one understanding, that's the reason why the fifth of the commandments, where I would think that Kabed Tavich HaVetimecha should be on the second tablet, is number five. There's a teaching in early sources that all the commandments, Shalom, that all the commandments on the first tablet, if you look at the board here, for a moment, just consider this to be tablet number one, consider this to be tablet number two. We'll identify this, for the purpose of our discussion, as the Shnei Luchot. Okay, Shnei Luchot Avrim. Now, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's a teaching that all the commandments in tablet 1 parallel all the commandments that are on the same line with them in parallel in commandment number 2. In other words, that the first commandment is connected somehow conceptually to commandment number 6. And 2 is connected to 7, and 3 is to 8, and 4 is to 9. And the fifth commandment of Kabed et Avicha ve'et Imecha is connected conceptually to what is the tenth commandment? Lo tahmod beit re'echa. Do not covet, do not desire, do not be jealous of someone else's house, of someone else's family. B'chol asher l're'echa. And I believe that one of the reasons why so many people have difficulties in honoring parents, I believe most people, if you speak to them, what do you think about the concept of honoring parents? It's wonderful. It's a wonderful teaching. It's great. One should always honor it. It's beautiful to honor one's father and one's mother. But each person finds a reason why it's their particular father that's so problematic. It's their particular mother that's causing them such difficulties in this area. You see, if she would be my mother, oh, then of course I would honor her. She's so sweet, she's so great, she's so kind, she's so sensitive, she's so gentle. But my mother is so demanding, is so, I can't! You know, his father, I see the way he talks to him. Well, he doesn't really see the way he talks to him. He just sees an encounter of 5 minutes, one day out of many years. Oh, I see the way his father talks to him. So his father is so sweet. If that would be my father, of course I would honor him. And that's part of the same problem of lo tachmod beit re'echa. You're living in this dream world of if you had someone else's parents, then you would respect them. Kabed et avi. Cha. What does cha mean? Your father. Et. Cha. Your mother. Not just an honor of aim. Your father and your mother. Your parents have been somehow divinely tailored to be the parents of you, of your being. Why are your parents and not his parents and not her parents? Why is this your father and not my father, not her father, not his father? Why is this your mother, not our mother? Because there's something connected. I'm not talking now only about genetics. I'm talking about a spiritual concept. There's a certain kind of special tikkun. There's a certain kind of special perfection and rectification that you can reach in this world by a particular relationship with your father. You have criticisms of your father. We'll talk about that soon. You have criticisms of your mother. Every child has criticism of their father and mother. No one in this world is perfect. But if we understand that there's a commandment of avicha ve'et imecha, and this parallels lo tachmod beit re'echa v'chol asher l're'echa, then we'll begin to understand the importance and the significance of kibud av ha'em. According to the Midrash, Devarim Rabbah, the most stringent of commandments has something to do with the fulfillment of the commandment of honoring one's parents. And I believe that many people feel that it is the most difficult. If you gave them a piece of paper, we have thousands of commandments, thousands of teachings, thousands of laws. To many people, the most challenging of all the laws of the Torah is the law of Kibud Av V'Em. Anybody, why? Why do people find it so difficult? Yes?
Maybe because the level of fear and honor you have for your parents is very hard to direct at a physical being as opposed to just equate it to God, and God is omnipresent and omniscient.
Absolutely, right? I mean, it's easier to relate to an abstract concept than to something that's so cool. Yes?
It's also easier to find the bad than the good.
That's the way people focus. Everyone can point to something which is an inconsistency. Everyone can point to something which is not perfect about their parents. And you know what? There is no person on earth since the creation of the world till the end of time. There is no person on earth who's perfect. Only God is perfect. And the child picks up the imperfection. Wait, I should honor my parents. My parents are not perfect. It doesn't say honor your perfect father. It doesn't say honor your father, honor your mother if she's perfect. Honor your father and your mother, yes.
And your parents sometimes have the opposite motives.
Absolutely, right? This is a real conflict. There are conflicts. There are conflicts in self-expression. The child, the son, the daughter is interested in pathway A for whatever reason, and the father and the mother is interested in pathway B. We'll talk maybe later about religious issues, but there's this conflict, right? Someone once said, I don't have a sense of humor, but someone once defined a sweater. What is the definition of a sweater? It's the kind of garment that a child puts on when the mother is cold. You know, so, I mean, it's like, I don't want to put on a sweater. I'm not cold. There's a mitzvah to stand up. It's an easy mitzvah. One of the commandments of the Torah. One of the commandments of the Torah. There's nothing else to that. That's it. Like, wow. Can you sit next to me, please? I can't. Please. No, I'm serious. Unless you want to walk out right in a minute. I don't have to. Please. So this is what I believe, right? This kaved, it's avicha, this avicha imecha. The emphasis on your father, your mother, not avay. And the stringencies of the conflict, as you were saying, right? What's the problem? Why do so many people feel this conflict? What? Because they're interested in self-expression. And each person is struggling and is striving to be self-expressive. So how does one distinguish between my own rights to self-expression and my parents' right to impose their will upon me? And this is discussed at length in the commentaries, at length in the codifiers. To what extent? To what extent can a parent decide questions which are basic to a person's life? You've studied some of these issues, I think, in some of your philosophy classes and machshava classes and halakha classes. Also, another reason why it's so difficult for some parents, so for so many people, to this mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. Anybody? Yes.
Possibly one is that, I mean, you interact with your parents
the most. Yeah, you know, if I have to pick up a lulav in that throw, so how many, so I don't know, a few days a year I have to pick up a lulav in that, I have to sit in a sukkah a week, you know. Alright, I have to sound a special kind of horn, a special kind of, alright, once a year, 2 days. You know how often you have to honor your father and mother? This is constant. A constant mitzvah, especially those people. Many people in this room are considering going back to honor their parents. One of the reasons they're looking for, like, a reason what justifies leaving Eretz Yisrael. So I'm not there are halachic scholars here, but some suggest that maybe if you're going back because it'll bring such joy to your father and mother to hug you and to embrace you. So you spend, let's say, 5 minutes in the airport doing that. You take the next plane back to Eretz Yisrael. You know, like, what's? So you're getting ready after a year, 10 months of living away from one's parents, at least most of the people, if not all the people sitting in this room, and now you're going into an environment, at least for some period, where day and night you will be exposed to this mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. All the way, 24/7, right? All the time. It's not a mitzvah that you do when you go to the synagogue. It's not a mitzvah you do when you meet someone. What's your other explanation?
It's possible that the person's so much like their parent. So if they're so much like their parent at the same time, so you'll honor them because you're not honoring yourself.
Maybe one sees the reflection of oneself, or the reflections of one's imperfections. Maybe one blames certain kinds of improper kinds of parts of their own personality on their parents. You know, the chapter number in the Shulchan Aruch, and I believe that there is significance to this, although you're welcome to disagree with me. My father was a rabbi. I have a poetic right to say drush, you know, I mean, the chapter numbers of the Shulchan Aruch were made up by the author of the tour. It's a copy of the tour. Rabbeinu Yaakov, Rav Yaakov Bala Turim, is the one who set up the chapter numbers. He was a mathematical genius, and he's the author of what we call the Bala Turim, the commentary. Everyone has studied that, yes? On the Chumash, the Perish HaTur HaAruch. Yes or no?
Yeah.
So he was a mathematical whiz, and one of the things that he did was he set up the chapter numbers that the name of the four sections of his code exactly are equivalent numerically to the number of chapters in his book. In other words, if you take the sum total of Orach Chayim plus Yoreh De'ah plus Hoshen Mishpat plus Eben Ezer, that equals the sum total of simanim in the entire four sections of the Torah. Only someone of the level of the Baal Turim would do such a thing. I don't know anyone, you know, maybe in world Jewish history. So maybe people have played with computers today. But he wrote this, you know, way before the computer age. So the chapter number, anyone know the chapter number in the Shulchan Aruch, which is taken from the chapter number in the Torah, Yeredeah, of the laws of honoring one's parents? Anyone? Siman Resh Mem. Siman Resh Mem. Chapter 240. Now, Resh Mem means Ram?
Loud.
Ram, like an abbreviation. It could be.
Loud.
Resh Tiftah. What?
Loud.
Loud.
Kol Ram.
Maybe even there. I don't know if it means loud or it means elevated. Like Ram Vidisa? Yes? You know what I'm saying?
Ram.
Ram. Oh, Da. Ram, it's something very elevated, something very exalted. But if you turn around the letters of the chapter of of the chapter in the Shulchan Aruch, and you read it in the other order. What word does that spell?
Mar.
What does mar mean?
Bitter.
Bitter. Yeah. It can be either ram or it can be mar. Now this is not my own teaching. It's just, I mean, this teaching is based on the teaching of Rav Yaakov Emden. He doesn't say this, but in a certain sense, he's supposed to learn from what he says. He says that in Orach Chaim, that's another section of the Torah of the Shulchan Aruch, and the other section of Orach Chaim, chapter Resh Mem, deals with the laws of intimacy between a husband and wife. So he writes there in his commentary, in his prayer book, he says, why is the chapter Resh Mem? He said, well, Resh Mem, it could be the highest experience, or it could be Ram, or it could be Bar, it could be the most bitter of experiences, depending on how a husband and wife and wife and husband relate to each other. So it could be, I'd like to suggest, as a mnemonic for remembering part of our discussion, that Siman Resh Mem, you know, can really be for many people. If you follow the teachings of the Torah properly, you can say something about the Torah, you can teach us something. You can say anything. No, it's very. What? Resh Mem and Mem Resh. You know, it could be like, to some people, it's the most bitter part of their life, the most difficult, the most challenging, the most, the saddest part of their life. It's so marked. When they read the laws of Kibbutz Av Va'em, they're reading chapter Mem Resh, and to some other people, wow, this is these are my parents. This is my opportunity, you know, my ticket to perfection. Let me tell you a story about Kibbutz Av Va'em. I'm conflicted about whether I should say the names or not. Maybe the great Rav will teach me whether to say it or not. I think I should say it. But I grew up, Baruch Hashem, in my father's Beit Knesset. Zichrono Levracha. My father was the rabbi. And there were many, many, many rows. I remember exactly where it was in the shul. We were like, many, many rows was the back right-hand section of the shul of all the young men who were not married. Say, all college age, or post-college age, some even high school age, high school, college, graduate school, they all sat together in one section of the shul. There were only two young men of that age group who sat next to their father. Their father sat on the front left till today. It's a very long time ago. Should I say the name? They're my Rebbe's. They're my Rebbe's. They're my Rabbanim. They're my Morei Derech for Kibbutz Av Va'em. I saw it every single Shabbat. Every single Shabbat. Everybody's sitting together. All the so-called young people in the synagogue are together. And I guess praying together and hopefully reaching levels of worship of God together. And maybe from time to time, maybe once every 25 years, maybe saying something to each other also. I'm sure they wouldn't talk in the synagogue. Maybe they would point to a comment. And there are only two people in the whole shul who are that age group who sat next to their father. One sat on one side of him and one sat on the other side of him. And as I was growing up, and I'm still trying to grow up, I always think about these people. Do you know how difficult it is with social pressure to sit somewhere else? To sit next to your Abba? And I think that this was a glory. I think this was a glory for this man. That his two sons, only had two sons, that his two sons understood that even though it meant defying the social norm of the time where everyone else was together, they saw it as a Ram experience, they saw it as an elevated experience of the possibility of honoring their father. Where should you sit in the shul? I'm not here to teach the halachot of Kibbutz Av. Do you sit near your father? Those people are privileged to have a father. Do you sit near your father, or do you sit near your friend? Do you pray in the same synagogue as your father? Do you have a right to choose your own synagogue? Maybe you can reach higher spiritual levels of expression in a different synagogue. How do you make decisions about these topics? Should be studied. There are commentaries who suggest that perhaps in many, many cases, parents are often ever so expressive of their deep feelings for their children, but so many children lack a certain level of expression and appreciation of their parents. And I once heard it explained in the following way. Adam and Hava, we were all children of Adam and Eve. And they are the ones who taught us pathways in living in this world. Somehow they bequeathed to us in their spiritual genetic makeup of certain kinds of ideas and principles of how we live in this world. So Adam and Chava, Adam of Chava, you know, it could be Adam and Chava taught the world about how to appreciate children because they had children. But they couldn't teach the world about appreciating parents because they didn't have parents. Right? Adam and Chava, the only two people in the world who have no parents. So it could be that there's a challenge on the part of so many people. If we would meet our parents when we were adults, if we would have met our parents when we were adults, so it could be it would be easier to appreciate them. In the Sefer called Chavot HaLevavot, it says that often we're not aware of all of the blessings that God gives us because we're so accustomed to them. We're so used to them from such early points in our life that maybe we can't fully appreciate the great blessing. We're used to an existence. We're used to a concept of opening our eyes and seeing a loving mother on, you know, taking care of us, nurturing us. We're used to the idea of a father, you know, supporting us or assisting us. And maybe because we're so used to it from the earliest point in our life where we cannot yet develop levels of hakarat hatov, perhaps because of that reason, as we get older and older, some of us also lose an awareness in that area. I was thinking, in preparation for today's discussion, that in the Torah section of Kiddushin, it's a section of the Torah that most of us have studied. In the section of Kiddushin, there's a list of many, many, many commandments. Kiddushin, of course, means Kiddushin to you. You should be holy. So it would be interesting to see what does the Torah say? What are you supposed to do? You want to be holy. Daber kol adat bnei Yisrael, v'yamartel lehem Kiddushin to you. Be holy. Okay, I'm ready for holiness. What's the next sentence in the Torah? Right after it says, be holy. Whole long list of teaching. Number one, anyone? The first commandment is, have something to do with an awareness and an appreciation of your parents. That's holiness. I would expect maybe go to meditate, go to pray, go to think, go to study. I don't know, delve into the holy, separate yourself. It's the opposite. Separate yourself from the world. Separate yourself from a family. Who has time for family? I want to connect to God. The barrel call adat for the Israel Amartalihem Kidoshim Tihiyu. Be holy. How do you be holy? Ish imova vivtira. On your parents. Have something to do with your parents. Do with my parents. What does that do with holiness? I want to be holy. Maybe I should fast if I want to be holy. Maybe I should pray if I want to be holy. Maybe I should study if I want to be holy. What does that do with a lot of your parents? Anyone? What does Kedoshim mean in this context? What does that do being Kedoshim? Yes?
Maybe through connecting to your parents, you can connect you can connect to God on a higher level, and perhaps.
Okay, so you're saying I can't go directly to God. Let me attach myself to the closest that I have to God on this earth, and that's my Creator. Something along those lines.
Yeah.
Could be. Yes.
Deutsch, I think that's
last time
he spoke to us.
Hashem
should
listen.
He said that.
And bless all the people who listen that remember his teaching. When was this?
Maybe a month ago. He told us that it's like a parallel that.
You know how great it is that people remember Rabbi Deutsch's teachings? I don't even know Rabbi Deutsch. How great it is. They did a study of what people remember of high school teachers. I think they did that into a month later. They did it maybe 10 years later, 20 years later. What do you remember from each high school teacher? And they came to the conclusion, I have a friend who's a psychologist, psychoanalyst. He was sharing the study with me. Most people do not remember the teaching of their high school teachers, but they very definitely remember the personalities of the people that taught them. And he was trying to share that. Maybe that's much more important than the detail here and the detail there. May God bless Rabbi Deutsch. What did he teach?
So he told us that it's like a parallel that if you can learn to have a good relationship with your parents here on the physical sense, then you can learn that, how to have a healthy relationship with spiritual.
Baruch Hashem, yes, I accept that. I accept that. I believe that. And I want to say in addition to that, I think that real Kedusha means living within a family unit. That's why it could be that the word in Hebrew, one of the words in Hebrew for marriage, is Kiddushin, right? Same word, Kiddushin. There are many people who understand holiness as being separated from these concepts. Separated, you know, I don't have to do with a physical father and a physical mother, or a physical partner, or physical spouse. Maybe the Kedoshim element in Judaism requires us to take into consideration our relationship with Ish Imo the Aviv Tirao. So the reward we're going to read in Mitzvah Hashem on Sunday in all the Batei Knesset in the whole world in the Ten Commandments. It's rare that says explicitly in the Torah the reward. What's the reward for Kibbutz Avayim according to what it says in the Chumash? What? You will live extended life. And the rabbis discuss whether it means extended life in this world, extended life in the next world. There are discussions about that in Talmudic literature, rabbinic literature. But I was studying that one of the commentaries claimed why specifically this reward for the fulfillment of this particular commandment, Lema'an Yerichun Yamecha, and he suggested that maybe an excuse that's often used by many people. Someone says, could you go shopping for your mother? Your mother needs you to go shopping tonight. Can you go shopping? So you know what a lot of people say? I'd love to go shopping, but
I don't have time.
Can you drive your father to the wedding tonight? You know, his car doesn't where he wants you to drop him off at the wedding. Could you go for him? And so many people are saying no because I don't have time, right? I'm too busy. Could you pick up their clothes from the cleaners? I would love to do that, but you know, could you sit and talk to them? I don't have time. I'm busy. I have reports. I have work. I have to pursue my career. I have to meet my friends. I have social obligations. So the Torah says, "Kaveh davicha vetimecha." You will be giving up in the course of your life. You'll be giving up time, great deals of time, because you're involved in honoring your parents. Don't worry about all that time. You know why? No? Why? L'man Yerichun Yamecha, when you're celebrating your 121st birthday and the whole world is interviewing you. How did you make it to 121? Like, wow, look, what is L'man? You're sitting there with all your faculties and you're celebrating. So you look back at all of the times that you're the one who dedicated yourself. L'man Yerichun Yamecha, you dedicated yourself to Kaveh Tavicha Vetimecha. And you were ever present for them in their requests to you. I know it's an adjustment, and that's one of the reasons why they set up in the yeshiva some kind of discussion group. I think there are other classes as well in Kibbutz Avayim, because it's a major adjustment for many people this year. Of course, I hope everybody was constantly emailing their parents. I hope people were constantly texting their parents. I hope people were constantly calling their parents. I hope people were constantly sending gifts for every Shabbat to their parents and every Yom Tov to their parents. And if you haven't, so you know, you still have a few weeks to do that, right? Let's say Friday, you could send a gift for Shabbat Kodesh. You could send some delicious recipe cake for Shavuot. Yes? Yeah. What's the purpose of studying if we don't give and keep it? I mean, you want to start only keep it up when you go home. Maybe send them something in honor of Yom Tov. They have a 2-day holiday outside of Eretz Yisrael, you know? And there are really no laws for Shavuot. Every time I ever asked anyone anywhere, I said, "Can you tell me list two laws of the holiday of Shavuot, except for the general laws of Yom Tov?" In every class that I ever asked this to, they always say. Cheesecake. There is no law of cheesecake on Shavuot. It's a beautiful, beautiful minhag. I don't know if there are any laws of Shavuot. The staying up at night is not a law. It's a wonderful minhag. I mean, I know great people don't stay up at night. You know? Are there any laws of Shavuot? In the Beit HaMikdash, there was a law of Shtei HaLechem, a special korban. So maybe to send your parents something for Shavuot, send your parents something for Shabbat. Maybe send your parents messages of love. Maybe get them ready for the fact that they're going to be receiving their son back with such heightened levels of connection, a very, very different kind of relationship that many people had before they came to Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael elevated them, because the Torah of Eretz Yisrael, the Torah of the connection, of connecting all children to parents, and all parents to children. So maybe your parents will be ready for this experience. I think that before Yom Tov, before Shabbat Kodesh, before Yom Tov, especially this week, I think it's a good thing to do, to be able to reconnect to your Abba and Ima. And I know that in so many times, so many places, when people go home, especially people whose parents are in different places spiritually than they are, and there's always this problem about how do I tell my parents that what they're doing is not necessarily, you know, the highest level of proper behavior. And this is a real issue, and that's why you have great rabbanim in this yeshiva. You have a few weeks at least to discuss these questions with them. It doesn't mean that just everything that you think, some people feel that they've mastered all the texts in 10 months and they are now halachic wizards and geniuses and they know all there is to know about Jewish law and Jewish thought, and it's not the case. It's not the case. Let's say you go home and on Shabbat your parents are warming food in a certain kind of way, which maybe is different than you studied in your Hilchot Shabbat class. Maybe they're not exactly preparing the food. Maybe you have a house attendant and you studied the laws of what is permitted and what's prohibited to be cooked through a non-Jewish worker or a non-Jewish friend or a non-Jewish attendant. And maybe you see conflict. So there's a whole section in our tradition about how to politely, lovingly, with gentility, with sensitivity, speak to one's parents. A person who goes after a year of study in Eretz Israel and tells his father or tells his mother in a straight way, you know, you're wrong, you know, this is wrong, that's wrong, you're doing this wrong, and I learned, what do you mean you're not covering your hair, mommy? You know, I sat in a class and they were teaching us that the Kisui Rosh, maybe Gilui Seyar B'Isha, is a Erva, Seyar B'Isha, Erva, and you claim to be religious? You claim to be religious, mommy? You walk around without your... So we can discuss the questions about covering one's hair. And you have great teachers in this yeshiva who can teach that whole topic to you. But there's a level of speaking. There's a level of how one approaches. It says in Halakha, the whole section, what exactly are you allowed to say? What exactly are you not allowed to say? How are you allowed to say it? You know, and when it affects you. Someone sitting here asked me before Pesach. Their parents insist that they go to a mixed beach. And they feel that this is against their, what they study. And this person was trying to deal, the person sitting here, the person was trying to deal with a certain level of conflict. What do I do? My parents are taking me to a resort where they want me to go mixed swimming. And I really don't want to go mixed swimming, but I used to go mixed swimming. Before I came to Eretz Israel, I always went mixed swimming. And how do I deal with this? And how do I do it in a way that I don't hurt my parents' feelings? Because one of the most basic teachings of Torah is tzedek, tzedek, terdof. Tzedek, tzedek, terdof. What does it mean? No? Righteousness, righteousness shall you pursue. What's the problem? What's the problematic aspect of that pasuk? What is that? Tzedek, 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 tzedek to dove. What do we mean tzedek, tzedek, tzedek to dove? What's the answer? When you're pursuing tzedek, make sure you're doing it with tzedek. You have very high goals, you have very high aspirations. But even in the pursuit of tzedek, even if you're interested in, you know, like you want the highest level kashrut in your house, and you think that they're compromising by buying product A or product B, or in preparing, certain kinds of plates or certain kinds of dishes. Be very, very careful. Be very, very careful. Talking to your Abba and your Ima. Talking to your Abba and Ima. How do you go about it? So speak to the great Rabbi and Ima. They're great minds. They have great experiences in this area. Don't just go and say, no, this is wrong, that's wrong, change this, don't throw this out, you can't do this anymore. You're hurting people's feelings. Especially those people coming, I think the overwhelming majority of people, I don't know everybody's background, the overwhelming majority of people in the yeshiva are coming from homes where people are trying to keep Torah. So you have a different understanding, or you learn different ideas. Maybe there's a different approach, maybe there's a lenient Maybe there's a lenient aspect. I know it's late. You're going to say something? Please say something. Please say something. Nothing. I just want to say, I want to say that one of the tragedies of humankind is that we don't count the blessings that we have. I'm a close student of Rabbi Miller, of Blessed Memory, Rabbi Victor Miller. He was always teaching us, I heard it from many hundreds of times, that you're supposed to constantly count your blessings. Count your blessings. Instead of looking at what's missing in life, why don't you look what you have? So everybody's in everybody's relationship with their Abba and their Ima, there's something missing. It's not perfect. Yeah, your father's not the perfect father, your mother's not the perfect mother. Because there is no such being called the perfect father and the perfect mother. God is the perfect father, and yes. God is the perfect mother, right? So are you aware of the blessings? And maybe I can tell you on a personal level, my father and my mother are no longer living in this world. And I can tell you that one of the great tragedies that I've seen over the years, and I bless you that your parents should live forever. Yishayo says that there's a concept. I mean, he has two different prophecies. One prophecy is that the young man will die at the age of 100. That means if Chas v'Shalom someone will die at 100, he'll say, he's only 100 years old. Ki hanar ben me'ah shana yamud. 100 years old. But that's not the prophecy we're waiting for. We're waiting for the other prophecy. We're waiting for the prophecy of Bila Hamavet Lanetza. No more death. Your parents should live happily and healthily forever. Yes. But you know what the reality of the world that was the world till today? You know, in most cases, there's a point in one's life, and I hope it's not too painful to say, if it is, please forgive me. In most people's lives, there's a point where their father and or their mother is no longer living. And then they look back with such longing, with such love, with such feelings of, you know, why didn't I appreciate this great gift? Why didn't I appreciate this great gift when I had it? So I think the more you can appreciate it, the more you can indulge in it, the more you can enjoy it, I think the greater your life will be in every possible way. Every morning we say, Elu Devarim. One word, please. One word. Any. It doesn't have to be related to Gibra. Please. Yes. Send it. Elu Devarim.
You will?
Just anything. Let's talk about a Tubishvat. Elu Devarim. Elu Devarim. Shadam Ochel Perotehem. Ba'olam Hazeh. No? Carry payam at Lolo Lam Haba. These are the items. You say that? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Most commandments, Schar Mitzvah, Bahai Alama, Leka. It's not the world of reward. Hayom La Asotam, Umahar La Kabel Scharam. The reward is in the next world. Eilu Dvarim. There are a list of items, certain list of activities. Shadam Ochel Perotehem Ba'olam Hazeh. That one benefits from, one yields dividends in this world, by Karen, and the principle still remains in the next world. Number one on that list, Elu Hain. And I think one of my rabbis once said, so when you say that in the morning, some people say it because it's a technicality. We want to learn something after the Berachot Torah, so we learn that teaching. He said, whenever you say that mission, whenever you say that teaching, maybe at that moment, pause and think, okay, I want to today carry out some aspect of Kibbur Aveh. What can I do today? What can I do today? Just reading teachings in an abstract way, which has nothing to do with your life. I want to do Kibbur Aveh. So at that moment, pause, and for at least 60 seconds, think about what I'm going to do today to accomplish Kibbur Aveh. I want to give you the bracha. You should be able to ochel perotehem ba'olam hazeh, v'karen kayem et lo l'olam haba. You should be blessed in this world, the next world, with arichut yamim, v'anit ablach. You know, the greatest level of extended life and meaningful life, both in this world and in the next world, and the last prophecy of the last prophets. You know, we have many, many, many prophets in our history, but in the Tanakh, the one who's considered the last of the Nevi'im Anyone? Sorry? I can't hear you. In his own way. What? Malachi. Yes, Malachi is the last of the Nevi'im. Malachi. The very end of the book of Malachi. Almost all of the Nevi'im that we have are from the first Beit HaMikdash. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi are from the second Beit HaMikdash. The end. Look at any standard printing of the Nevi'im, any standard printing of Tanakh. So look at the last chapter of the last prophet. Hinei Anochi Shaleach Lachem Et Eliyah Navi Lefnei Bo Yom Hashem Agadol Vanara. The last prophecy, the end, the all-encompassing prophecy which is going to change the whole world. And what is the prophecy? I'm sending Eliyahu Navi before the great and awesome day of God. And what is the function of Eliyahu Navi? What does the Malachi say? I can't hear you. Beishiv levavot. Yes? Beishiv levavot albanim. Levavanim alavotan. To bring the children closer to the parents and to bring the parents closer to the children. It seems that the ultimate messianic, eschatological, redemptive process of the world has something to do with parents getting closer to children and with children getting closer to parents. No matter what level you're on, let's say you're on the highest level in the world of being close, I hope that you can get even to a higher level. I hope that you could use your great level to teach others. And those of us in the room who need improvement in this area, may we be moved by the teachings of Malachi, Beishiv Levavot Albanim, Levanim Albotam. May we experience this great prophetic message of Elijah the prophet today. May we learn the message of Rosh Chodesh. Today is Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Rosh Chodesh Sivan is where everybody started seeing the unity of the Jewish people. Today is Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, not Vayahanu, but Vayichan Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. The Varkar Rebbe says Vayichan, which of course comes from the word Chet, the root Chet Nun Hey, seemingly to camp, to stop, to travel, and to come to a pause. Like a tahana, this is the root of the word tahana. Vayichan, they all camped as one. All throughout the Torah it says Vayahanu. And when they came to Har Sinai on this day, on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, Vayichan, everyone was together. Ishahad, Levahad. But he says, well, how'd they do that? So he said, the word Vayichan al pi chasidut is connected to the word chen. Not to the word, not just to the word choneh or chana or tahana or mahaneh. It's connected to the word chen. Vayichan. They started seeing the chen. They started seeing the charm. They started seeing the beauty in all the other people. When can I become one with everybody else? If I see everybody else's chen. Start with your parents. Can you see the chen of your Abba? Can you see the chen of your mother? Today, Vayichan day. Today, Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Rosh Chodesh. You need Hitchatshut. You need Chidush. You need to re-express your excitement about the great blessing that God gave you. You have the most beautiful, blessed, happy, wonderful families. And as a result of you being such great children to your parents, may your children be blessed to have the greatest parents in the world as well. Thank you.